Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. We are in a mourning period for our founder, John Stadtmiller. We do need donations. You can call, you go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, follow the instructions, because things are in flux. You want to make sure that your support gets here. So follow the instructions. Nationalbugle.com is still the home of CoSertified, and you can download that app. It will be a great investment in your future of a non-kosher certified lifestyle. Okay, today we have Philbert with us. Philbert, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you for having me once again. And I have my hat off for Mr. John Stadtmiller.
Yeah. It was very sudden and very unexpected, and we're all in a lurch. Anyway, of course we might be mourning for the entire planet before long. There's all sorts of stuff going on, but on Tucker's show on Wednesday night, he had on Representative Mike Turner, who I guess represents the Gay Pride Party, which is the Republican Party. I think he's the head of the Gay Pride Caucus. He's also a member of the Armed Services Committee, and he was on saying that Biden needs to man up and send a bunch of Americans to Ukraine to get ready to fight Russia, right? Because whatever, because of my values and democracy and allies and commitments and whatnot.
Well, because of the military-industrial complex, you know. We need to sell them weaponries.
Well, there's a lot of that. And Tucker pushed back, but really not as effectively as one would like. He did say we should... Why should we take Ukraine's side against Russia? Because everybody knows that the real threat are the slanty-eyed chinks. Those are his words, not mine, by the way. Those were Tucker's words. And so the Russians could help us confront the yellow menace. This is what he was saying. And frankly, I think that's just a bunch of faggotry. And those are my words. But when I was talking about faggotry, I don't mean anything to be offensive to our LGBTQRS community. It's simply that it's totally gay for Tucker to be talking like that.
Yeah. I'll tell you one thing. If there was such a thing called the faggot tree, you shouldn't eat the fruit that it bears.
Stay away from the faggot tree. I mean, like the apple tree. The apple tree is bad enough. Faggot tree, you want to stay away from that thing. Okay. Well, all right. So what Mike Turner was saying, and I've gone over this on David Duke's show, and I went over it on Stormfront, but it needs to be gone over on this show. And he was saying that, first of all, that Russia invaded Crimea. The tanks rolled into Crimea. Russia has invaded Ukraine. They invaded Crimea. And, of course, what actually happened was there was, in 2013, you had the elected president, Viktor Yanukovych. And he had been elected. He had, I guess he was facing a re-election. Were they going to have another election in 2014? At any rate, he was within his term. There wasn't a fake election or anything. He's well within his term. And the issue at the time was the EU and NATO were trying to lure Ukraine. And Yanukovych was somebody who was kind of trying to balance between the East and the West. His predecessor was another Viktor Yushchenko, who was very pro-West, but Yanukovych was less so. Putin didn't like him, but Yanukovych was trying to play off the EU / NATO against Russia and see, you know, where he could get the best deal. And in the end, Russia gave him a deal he couldn't refuse. It was a very good deal. And so the economic deal that he'd been negotiating with the EU fell through, and he was going to be having, you know, a lot of trade with Russia, with oil pipelines, with, you know, free, like, low price oil for Ukraine, because they need energy. It's a cold country in the winter and whatnot. So it was all about trade deals, right? And Russia won the contest. And, you know, Paul Manafort, who was notorious on the Trump campaign, he was Trump's campaign manager or chairman for a brief period of time. Paul Manafort had been actually an advisor to the Yanukovych government. And he was the one who, because he was the one who was trying to get Yanukovych to play the EU off against Russia. And Manafort was actually trying to push Ukraine more towards the EU, or at least towards a balancing act. At any rate,
yeah, the CIA involved in that also.
Well, yeah. So what happened was, and this was around the same time as the 2014 Sochi Olympics. Do you remember the Sochi Winter Olympics?
I do, yes.
And do you remember some of the big issues there? There was one big issue.
Well, so this is unrelated, but I remember a big issue happening and the media kind of downplaying it. It was there were like four police that were like killed via sniper fire in Ukraine during the overthrow of the government, and forensic evidence was taken on these bullets, and they were all came from the same sniper rifle, and it came to be like it was a police sniper rifle. So I know some people theorize it was the CIA. But anyway, I don't mean to change the subject.
Okay, yeah. All right. Anyway, the Sochi Olympics, there was a big gay issue because the Russian parliament, the Duma, had passed anti-homosexual propaganda laws. So you're not allowed to propagandize homosexuality at kids, right? You're not allowed to. You're not supposed to get gay with kids. And, of course, you know, our values are all about getting gay with kids, right? And so there was almost a boycott of the Sochi Olympics because of, you know, Putin's not letting, you know, he's forbidding getting gay with kids. And that violates our principles and our democracy. So there was a lot of antagonism over that. That was coming at the same time. But then, because that was January 2014, and it was like January, at the same time you had these mass demonstrations in Maidan Square, and this is what you're referring to. There are these big demonstrations. Victoria Nuland was absolutely part of the organization of it, and she was going into the crowds and handing out sandwiches and probably bagels, you know, and...
Yeah, cream cheese too.
And then, you know, there's this shooting incident. And there are a couple of famous phone calls. One was the famous phone call between Victoria Nuland and Gregory Piat, who was the, I think that's how you say his name. He was the American ambassador to Kiev. And they had gone into the crowd together. I mean, you can see the pictures of them going around the crowd supporting the anti-government demonstrators, which is pretty much a violation of diplomatic protocol. I mean, diplomats aren't supposed to go and do that type of thing. But anyway, she had done that. And so the one famous call was the one where she said, F the EU. And that was in the context of, this was after the government had actually been overthrown, or when it was, I guess, in the process of being overthrown, and she was discussing who she wanted to see as the next prime minister, the next president, who would be leading the new government. And she wants Yatsenyuk, and she doesn't want Klitschko, and, you know, and then the Yats is a Jew. Some people say Klitschko, who is the boxing champion, that he's a Jew, but I don't think he's a Jew. He's a giant guy. He's like 6'6", and he wound up being the mayor of Kiev, but he was not in the national government. At any rate, Piat said something about, well, the EU wants, and then she just says, F the EU. Right? So that was well known, and she never denied it. And as a matter of fact, she later handed out little like lapel pins to her her staff that said, I heart the EU. So, I mean,
yeah. Victoria Noodleman.
Yeah, Noodleman. Noodleman is the actual family name, but it got emphasized to Newland. And she's back. She's the number three person now at the State Department. At the time, she was...
Oh, great.
Yeah, she was the Assistant Secretary for European and Eurasian Affairs. And basically, Obama had given Biden the Ukraine portfolio. And so Professor Stephen F. Cohen referred to Biden... Like at the time when this was all going on, he would refer to him as the viceroy for Ukraine. But of course, Biden's not a policy person. He's not an intelligent person. And Newland was running the show for the State Department and for Biden in Ukraine in 2014. So you had this violent overthrow. Oh, the other famous phone call was between what's her name? Catherine Ashton. From Britain. I think Catherine Ashton. And she was the equivalent of the foreign minister for the EU. She's British. I think it's like a commissioner. I forgot the official title. And she was talking to either the prime minister or foreign minister of either, I think it was Latvia. It was one of the Baltic states. And that conversation was also intercepted because, you know, cell phone. And it was intercepted, and you can hear... In the conversation, the Latvian say, well, we have information that there were snipers and they were firing at both sides. So, in other words, trying to provoke a violent confrontation. Right. And you can hear Ashton say, oh, well, that changes things. So,
yeah, it's theorized that, well, as far as I understand, it's theorized that those snipers were either the CIA or, planted by the CIA.
Or, I heard Israelis, but...
Oy vey.
Who knows? At any rate, it was a violent overthrow of the government, and it was successful, and Yanukovych fled the country, wound up in Russia, but, you know, Putin really never liked him, I think... and so it's not as if he's like living it up in Russia. I don't know what he's doing in Russia. I assume he's in Russia. And where else would somebody go? And, you know, the Ukrainian and Russian languages are more or less are pretty similar. So he'd be comfortable there. But at any rate, so this Mike Turner, Representative Mike Turner, was saying, Ukraine's a democracy and Russia is a authoritarian regime. And therefore, we've got to send troops and be prepared to fight.
Yeah. When I saw that, I thought to myself, have you ever been to Russia? I mean, granted, I'll be honest, I haven't. But, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I know how the political system works in Russia and, like pretend that I've been there and, you know, I'm an expert on it. Here this, you know, idiot is, or, you know, a politician is, claiming that, you know, Putin's a evil dictator. I know he didn't say that, but he's pretty much claiming that Putin's a dictator and Russia is an authoritarian regime. And I wonder if he's ever even been to Russia.
Yeah. No, I mean, Putin has won. He's won hands down election after election. And he did step aside for a term as required by the Russian Constitution. And so you had a term where Dmitry Medvedev was the Russian president. He was basically a kind of a seat holder, and they were sharing power, and Putin was the prime minister for that period of time, and then he went back to being president again. But, you know, there's no doubt that Putin was winning those elections. And honestly, I mean, Stephen Cohen was once asked about these elections, and he said, yeah, well, you know, there is probably maybe 10% of the vote that is discretionary. That was his term for it. It was discretionary. But how much of our the vote in you know, those 80 million votes that Joe Biden got, how many of them were discretionary?
Hey, this is the safest election that we've ever had in our history, okay?
Totally safe. Nobody died from the coronavirus casting a mail-in ballot.
Hey, that is conspiratorial. And, no, just joking. Yeah, it's faggotry. It's just total faggotry. Don't eat what the faggotry produces.
And you know, why would we care whether Ukraine or Russia is more democratic? And of course, the thing is, Ukraine, we just overthrew their government, what, 7 years ago? 7 or 8 years ago, we overthrew the government. Right. And look at Ukraine. Look at the personnel in the government. So, you know, for a while you had the former president of Georgia, Mikhail Saakashvili, who was a John McCain protege and, you know, somebody very anti-Putin. He was a foreigner, and he was brought in. He was the governor of I think, Odessa, or maybe not Odessa. He was the governor of one of their big provinces, and he actually was trying to angle to become prime minister himself. And he was a foreigner, okay? You had, for I don't know if she's still in the but under Poroshenko, and Poroshenko was the president that was installed under the Victoria Nuland regime. You had the finance minister was some chick from Chicago. She was an American from Chicago. She was Ukrainian, like, ancestry, and spoke Ukrainian, but she was from Chicago. She was an American citizen, not a Jew, by the way. You know, figure that. And of course, you had, you know, the Jewish prime minister, Yatsenyuk. I originally thought Poroshenko was Jewish, but because what is it? Cambridge Analytica had said he was Jewish, but now I'm not sure if I would regard Cambridge Analytica as a legitimate source. So I don't know about Poroshenko. I had originally thought he was, but the current president, Zelensky, he's a Jewish. There's Jewish. There's no doubt about that. And the prime minister before this one, I forgot his name. I think it's Grossman. I got the right person. He was Jewish. And then they offered you remember Alexander, what's the guy's name? Vindman, Alexander Vindman, Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman from the Trump impeachment hearings. He was this Jew who worked at the NSA and said that Trump committed treason because he had a phone call and asked the newly elected Jewish comedian president of Ukraine, Zelensky, to look into the crimes that the Biden family committed. You know, the crimes, meaning the pay for play bribery type of stuff, which we know. I mean, that's all on the Hunter Biden laptop. There was every reason to ask the Ukrainian government to look into these things. But Vindman said because Trump did that, he committed treason and it was violating my democracy. But he also said that he had been offered the job of defense minister of Ukraine. So here, what kind of occupation government is it that offers a foreign soldier, somebody working in the intelligence section of a foreign military, and offers them to be the head of your own military? So it's all crazy. Anyway, we're up at the break. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Click the donate button and assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee.
RBN can continue to accept donations via our PayPal account as you did before. We are not accepting checks or money orders made out to RBN at this time. If you have any other questions, please call 800-724-2719 extension 3 and please cancel your automatic payments.
The network thanks you.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Imagine that. Okay, we're back. We have been talking about Alexander Vindman, who was part of the Jew d'etat against Trump, but he had also been offered he said on like more than one occasion, I think he said like on three occasions, he'd been offered the defense minister position. So, you know, what kind of occupation government is that? So that's the democracy that we've got to be prepared to start World War III to protect. You know, that's retarded. Okay, so that was retarded. Also, okay, so he was talking about the Russia invading Crimea. Now, Russia already had a military base in Crimea. Crimea had been part of, historically, it was part of the Russian Empire. And when the Soviet Union was formed in 1922, in the wake of, the Russian Revolution set up the Russian Soviet Federated Socialist Republic. And then in 1922, that was incorporated into the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, which, you know, brought in the Far Eastern Republic and some other things. At any rate, Crimea was part of the Russian Republic up until the mid-1950s. It was transferred to the Ukraine basically as like kind of a birthday present, as like to commemorate something that had happened in the past. It was part of Kremlin politics, where Khrushchev was trying to garner favor amongst the many, many Ukrainians who were high up in the Soviet Politburo and Central Committee. You know, Brezhnev, who was head of the Soviet Union for, what, like about 18 years. He was, I think he was half Ukrainian. I think he spoke with a Ukrainian accent. Gorbachev was half Ukrainian. A lot of other leading Soviet politicians during the Cold War were Ukrainian. So it's not as if the Ukrainians were really under the Russian boot. If anything, the Russians were consistently the most underrepresented group, major group in the Soviet government. The Russians were always underrepresented. So, but when the Soviet Union was dissolved at the end of 1991, the Crimea had its own parliament, because even though it was technically part of Ukraine for 30 years, they maintained an autonomous status, and so they had a parliament, and they voted in 1992 to declare independence from Ukraine. It wound up, as a result of negotiations involving Russia and the Ukraine, they wound up suspending that declaration or freezing it. And you know, part of the agreement was that Russia would maintain its big naval base, its most important naval base at what's the place called? I was saying it all day pretty well. Stavropol, whatever. Anyway, that's the way it goes sometimes. Sevastopol, and that, so they had a massive military base. So the thing is, Russians didn't need to invade Crimea. There were Russian troops, lots of Russian troops in Crimea, because that's where they live. That's where the base is. And
well, they all spoke Russian also.
And the Crimeans in Crimea, it's mostly ethnic Russians, and the second biggest group are Tatars, and ethnic Ukrainians are only about 10% of the population. So there was, in the wake of the Victoria Nuland coup d'etat, or Jew d'etat, in the Ukraine, the Crimeans said the heck with it. And they had a referendum, and there was a massive, like a 90% vote or more for independence. And so they declared independence, and they applied for membership in the Russian Federation, and it was granted. Now,
yeah, I kind of think that took the rug, or I guess you could say pulled the rug out from underneath Hillary Clinton's feet, which she was the Secretary of State at the time under Obama.
She was the Secretary of State up until 2013. So when this actually happened, Kerry was Secretary of State. But yeah, but a lot of the stuff leading up to it, she was Secretary of State, and she had elevated Victoria Nuland to the State Department spokesman, and Victoria Nuland prior to that had been the ambassador to NATO. But Victoria Nuland got that post as the assistant secretary of state for European and Eurasian affairs in the autumn of 2013. So that was when Kerry was already there. But at any rate, there was no need for a Russian invasion. There wasn't a Russian invasion. The people of Crimea decided, well, if the Americans are going to overthrow the Ukrainian government, we don't need to be part of this. And it wasn't just Crimea. You had these two large provinces, actually, frankly, much larger provinces in eastern Ukraine. What are they? Well, it's called the Donbass collectively, but there's Lugansk and Donetsk, something like that. I can't remember. I'm doing my best. It's late at night, and I don't have my maps in front of me. But they both also declared independence, and they applied for membership in the Russian Federation, but they have not been accepted. So it's not as if Russia's trying to annex all the territory it can, because you got these two regions that are Russian, ethnically Russian, and they were trying to get into Russia, and Russia so far has not accepted them. But we're up at the break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
For over 20 years now, Extendabite has proven time and again it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Okay, so we're back. So I have thought of actually using the audio from Tucker's interview with this LGBTQ representative from Ohio, Mike Turner, but I can't be bothered. No, I just don't have time for it. And those were the two of the main points that I wanted to get to. That, you know, he was saying that Russia invaded Ukraine, and it wasn't. And he also. This guy also admitted that there's already American troops in Ukraine. So the thing is, if there's American troops in Ukraine, if like America assisted a coup d'etat or staged a coup d'etat, and now there's American troops in Ukraine, like really, who invaded? Okay, now, so that was the situation in Ukraine. But let's get to Belarus now, because there's all this action going on. You've heard about the migrant crisis, and of course there's migrant crises going on in multiple places around the world, but Belarus is the country north of Ukraine. It's got a much smaller population, a smaller area. It's got a border with Poland, and right now there's a bunch of Muslims on the border with Poland trying to get into Poland because they want to get to Germany, France, and England and live off of welfare. These are Muslims. And, you know, Lukashenko's like, well, that's your greatest strength, right? All this diversity, isn't it your greatest strength? So here, have it. And the Poles are like, no, we don't want it. And so they're trying to not let them in. And the the Belarusians are not letting them back, and it's creating a humanitarian crisis. And of course, for the EU, you know, humanitarian crises are all my value. That's my value. That's the values that define us as a people. And so, frankly, it's like, on the one hand, that Muslim immigrants are the values that define us as a people, but on the other hand, they're requesting like U.S. troops, and you know, this could be the start of World War III. What the hell are we supposed to make of this?
I don't know. I'm still looking at France. I think France may be the trigger.
How would that happen?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe Europe in general. And the only reason I say that, it's just, it's honestly just kind of a hunch. But if you look at it, Europeans tend to have more ethnic, you know, heritage just compared to America. So that's where I'm looking.
So the thing is, like, Poland and Hungary and I think the Czech Republic have been within the EU. They've been saying, okay, if you're gonna accept migrants, we don't want any part of it. And the EU's like, no, it has to be spread out. We've got to spread out all of our greatest strength. And so there's been a lot of discord within the EU about that. And yet, you know, the Poles, the Czechs, and the Hungarians haven't exited. They haven't done a Brexit yet. And so Lukashenko is the awesome president of Belarus, who his response to COVID, instead of locking down and enforcing mandates, is saying drive tractors and play ice hockey because it's good for your immune system. He won't have any of this. He won't have any of what Brazilian President Bolsonaro called all this faggot stuff. He won't have it, right? And so, you know, they tried to fake an election last summer, and or summer of last year. And instead of doing a Trump and walking across the street and holding up a Bible in front of a church, you know, when Trump's White House was surrounded by Antifa and black terrorists, Lukashenko just walked out of his mansion with his son wielding machine guns and told the military, "Oh, don't worry. Well, don't worry about those protesters. We'll take care of them." Which was a photo op, but I thought it was a better photo op, frankly. They're trying to regime change Lukashenko, and so Lukashenko, is he weaponizing these migrants?
It seems that way. Is he just a boomer, a Soviet boomer?
Well, okay, he was the only member of the Belarusian parliament when it was still part of the Soviet Union. He was the only member of it to vote against independence from the Soviet Union. And, you know, honestly, I give him credit for that. Now, the thing is, there is like a kind of a union between Russia and Belarus. They have some sort of customs union or something, so it's easy to get back and forth between the two countries. And but the thing is, if that union were to become more formalized, then Lukashenko, instead of being a big fish in a small pond, he would just be he'd be in a much bigger pond. And so at any rate, that so. But the question becomes, well, to an extent, who are these migrants? Well, they're Muslims. They're Muslims from the Middle East and from Afghanistan. Muslims from the Middle East and Central Asia. Okay, but the real question is, how did they get there? And the Poles are saying that Lukashenko is actually just flying them right into Minsk and then shipping them off to the border. And I don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't either. It seems like if they were just flying them in, that the country receiver should be able to deny them.
Yeah, but it's their greatest strength.
Yeah, why wouldn't you want to deny all the enrichment.
But the thing is, so I don't know. I mean, that's just an accusation made by the polls. And I could say I doubt it's true. But so where are these people, how would they be getting there? Well, they would, what are Belarus's other borders? Okay, it's got a small border with Latvia and a larger border with Lithuania. Those are both EU countries. And they're not coming from that direction. The Belarusians are saying that at least there's some sort of gun smuggling from Ukraine into Belarus aimed at these Muslims. So there's some sort of possibility that way. And then otherwise, their big border is with Russia. And like I said, that is a border that's pretty open. It's pretty easy to get through it. And Russia's a big country. And if you look at your globe or your map, but I like the globe because it's spherical, like our planet. And you see Afghanistan, and Afghanistan borders some of these Central Asian republics, right? And these Central Asian republics used to be part of the Soviet Union. And it's easy getting from these former Soviet republics into Russia. And so there are these migrant pathways. I don't think they're giant caravans like you have in Mexico so much, but transportation in Russia is not that expensive. And so I think a lot of them are going through Russia, getting to Belarus, and because Belarus has this border with Poland, which is in the EU, and also with Lithuania and Latvia, which are in the EU. And so the thing is, you've had since like 2014, is it? 2014, 2015, you've had these massive waves of Africans and Middle Easterners and South Asians and people from as far away as Bangladesh and probably Burma that have been streaming into Europe. And for a while, you know, some of these migrant highways go across the Mediterranean in boats, right? They go across the Straits of Gibraltar going into Spain. They go to Sicily, maybe Sardinia. They go to, going into Greece from Turkey. And you had one of these highways for a while, one of these routes was going all the way up into northern Russia to like Murmansk or Archangel. I guess to Archangel or Archangelsk, however you pronounce it, which is on the Arctic Ocean. And then there's a tiny little border with Norway. And they've been going all these different routes. And so I'm not exactly sure how these migrants are getting into Belarus. And are they being weaponized by Lukashenko? Probably. But the thing is, Lukashenko is, they've been trying to regime change him. And so I don't know. Is it an alpha move? What do you think?
Well, I don't think it's going to prevent regime change. I don't know. As far as like playing chess, I don't know what kind of move it is. It only seems like the people that are going to be hurt are like innocent, you know, Polish citizens. So, I don't like it. I don't think it's appropriate at all, especially when it's coming from another white nation.
So I have a lot of sympathy for Lukashenko. Because I think he's awesome, and I do think he's under attack now. Here's the point Lukashenko's making. So he's been under all of these sanctions for a long time, and they tried to regime change him. And you know, often when in regime changes, often people die. I mean, what happened to Gaddafi when he got regime changed? Right, he got anally raped by a bayonet or by a dagger. Okay, so it's a serious business. So I can understand why Lukashenko takes this very seriously. And this is what he says. When these migrant routes were going through Turkey, Turkey did the exact same thing. They did the exact same thing. They would they were demanding all sorts of foreign aid from the EU in order to turn on or off the spigots of migration. And Lukashenko saying, well, if you're willing to pay Turkey to deal with this migrant crisis that is really not It's not created by Belarus. The reason there's a migrant crisis is because these countries in Germany and in France and England, and they're accepting them. And if the, you know, these people in the Middle East and South Asia and Africa, if they're getting the message that they're going to be welcomed into these rich countries in Europe and given a lot of benefits, they're going to try to go there. And there's a lot of countries in between that they trample on. And so Belarus is basically being trampled on in its own way. And, you know, so you can say they're weaponizing it. But at the same time, the reason there's a migrant crisis is because these Western European rich countries with, you know, female or gay leaders have been welcoming. They've been welcoming. And when I say gay leaders, sometimes I'm literal. Like Ireland has a literal gay half. I think he's half Indian. Maybe he's half Pakistani.
I mean, it's not the citizens that are, I mean, determine this, though. I mean, that would be like, to me, that's like saying United, well, like, if we could only get the right person in office, maybe we could get our immigration under control. I mean, I don't think, because when I look back at this, it's like the average, you know, European citizen that's going to have to eventually, you know, deal with this, like via crime, you know, in the same sense that we do with our the crisis on our borders as well. I just don't think it's appropriate. But I mean, I'm sure he has a different mindset. I mean, that's just my own personal mindset. I think about the people that are in my own, you know, by my same income class, you know, middle class. He's not thinking that way for sure. But I wouldn't be out to, you know, we understand, or I understand the direct harms of immigration, which is crime, and then secondly, economic. But
It's calling BS on these people, because the thing is that the reason there is migration from all these countries, it's not because of the brutal Syrian civil war. It's because they're being welcomed. They're being welcomed, and there's a lot of countries in between.
Right. They're not being welcomed from the citizens. I mean, like they're being welcomed from Merkel and everything.
Well, they're being welcomed from the women to a large extent.
Right. Yeah. I mean, sick. Yeah. There was those photographs.
No, I mean, every time Andrew Anglin writes a story, he publishes photographs, and you see it's overwhelmingly women who are holding up. You know, no person's illegal, and to the extent you see men, it's men who are just trying to get. I don't want to get too crude, but whatever. Men who are trying to ingratiate themselves to these women. It's really sad. Everything's falling apart. So the thing is, whether you're going to have migrants going to Europe because they're being drawn there by the leaders of the country, or the, you know, the elite, Jewish dominated elite, I'll say that. And there's a whole bunch of different routes that they can take. And, you know, what they'll go, whatever route is the path of least resistance. And for a while it was, you know, it was Turkey. It was going across the Mediterranean. And like I mentioned, even going as far north as the Arctic Ocean. And right now. So, Lukashenko is doing this. Is it a good look? I don't know. I don't really think it's a good look, but he is calling out this hypocrisy. And, you know, like they're welcoming. They were fine with them pouring into Greece through Turkey. They were fine. They're fine with they're scooping them out of the Mediterranean. But as soon as they're coming across the border from Belarus, then they're all freaking out and trying to start World War III over it. And it's a very dangerous situation. So there we are.
Yeah, it's going to be taken advantage of. Never let a good crisis go to waste, you know. And when Russia's the enemy all the time, you know, whenever one of Russia's friends starts, you know, messing with the EU, you know, you can bet that our politicians are going to hop all over it. You know, like we've seen, they're going to hop onto Tucker Carlson tonight, and you know, try to, you know, drum the, you know, beat the drums of war, pretty much.
Yeah. So here's my bottom line: is whether this particular tactic of facilitating or allowing for migrants to reach the Polish border. Regardless of whether or not I approve of that particular tactic, I'm still on Camp Lukashenko and Camp Putin, and I see them as being on the side of civilization, whereas the EU and the United States are on the side of Zionist tyranny. And so that's my bottom line.
Copy.
All right. Well, and you can throw the Tucker's hated slanty-eyed Chinaman in there too. I'm on, but I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
We're back, and I went to Walmart today, and it was full of fat people and women with mulatto children and a lot of diseased-looking people, frankly, and people with, like, even face tattoos, white people with face tattoos. What the hell is going on?
Yeah. I mean, how much do you have to hate yourself to, like, get ink, like, drilled into your face with a freaking needle, right? I've never understood that either. I mean, it's one thing maybe to, you know, on your birthday get a small tattoo, which I personally don't have any tattoos, so I've never even done that. Mm-hmm. I like my white skin, to be frank. Well, I mean, to do that to your face, even, like, it's beyond me.
Yeah. Okay, but certainly there's just, I mean, people in those motorized shopping carts where they just sit.
Yeah, yeah. So if you're ever feeling bad about yourself, one thing you can always do to raise your self-esteem is go walk around to Walmart for a good maybe 20 minutes, maybe even less, right? You don't have to go too far into the Walmart because, you know, the ice cream aisle is only like 3 or 4 aisles away from the entrance.
And you have a song about this.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm getting at. That's what I'm getting at. It's called Waddlesworth, and it's not new, but, I mean, well, it never gets old. It's not new, but it never gets old.
It never gets old. Well, let's play it. So thank you for joining me.
Well, thanks for having me, and thanks for playing my song. Hope everybody likes it.
I like it. And I'll be back again next week with more exciting episodes of National Bugle Radio.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You can't have
handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.